Thanks, Pastor Vern, worship team. Thanks, Abe, blessing us this morning. This morning, I have entitled my sermon, Faithful Stewardship of Spiritual Gifts. And of course, just a brief definition of what stewardship is. A biblical worldview of stewardship can be defined as managing all of the resources that God provides for the glory of God and for the advancement of his kingdom. That's really what it boils down to. That's a brief definition. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read from verses 12 to 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As you're turning there, I don't know how many of you know or are aware of, we do have several people that do follow us online, and so this morning I want to wish a very special welcome to you this morning or during whatever time of day you are listening to this. Thank you for tuning in, and there's a very special family that lives here in Saskatchewan that I know tune in, and we've talked with them often about that, and trust that God will bless your time as well as you're not able to make it here on a weekly basis. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 to 31. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free. And in my translation it reads, whether you drive a Ford or a Dodge or a Chevy, it's not in there. But whether you are slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Verse 15. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to this body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker or indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. This morning, as we look at the faithful stewardship of spiritual gifts, we need to consider the difference between spiritual gifts and natural talents, natural abilities. There is a difference. Now, I was looking at Abe this morning, and I was realizing and recognizing that he has a lot more talents than I do, because he can somehow play the guitar while playing the harmonica and sitting on a chair not falling over. Those are amazing talents, but that in itself is not the gift. Now, he's using it the same way to honor and glorify God and bring glory to God, and that is great. but they are not the spiritual gifts that are mentioned here in Scripture. A talent or natural ability is the result of genetics or of or training. Every person, whether they are a disciple of Christ or not, are given natural talents as a result of genetics or a natural ability. And again, for example, some people have the ability to play music. Some are naturally talented at creating things with their hands and building things. Some people are talented at mathematics or the sciences. Also, surroundings can influence surroundings and the influence of others help develop some of your talents as well. And so if you grow up in a family where there is lots of people that are musically talented and there's lots of music around, that is the influence that will influence you towards that as well and help develop your natural talents and abilities. God desires to give certain individuals certain talents, and you can look in Exodus chapter 31, 1 to 6, the instance of Bezalel. He was a very talented person. God had, and he used his talents in building the temple. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given differently to disciples of Christ by the special grace of God through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Natural talents, like I said earlier, natural talents can be used to serve God and for the benefit of building the church and the body of Christ, but they are different than spiritual gifts, which are also used to build up the body of Christ, the church. A talent is the result of genetics and our training, while a spiritual gift is the result of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, every man, woman, and child born possesses talent or talents because talents require simply genetics, training, or training and or environment. A talent can be possessed by anyone, Christian or non-Christian, while spiritual gifts are only possessed by Christians. There's a huge difference there. While both talents and spiritual gifts should be used for God's glory and to minister to others, spiritual gifts are focused on glorifying God and edifying the body of Christ, while talents can be used anywhere and everywhere for non-spiritual purposes as well. So how do we get these spiritual gifts? You know, how do we figure them out? Well, spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. This isn't something that we as church leadership can say, you know, here, you can have this gift or that gift. No, these spiritual gifts that are given, they're given by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches that each one has received a spiritual gift. Romans 12, verse 3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you." And then going down to verse 6 of Romans 12 says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us," speaking to the believer. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, "Now to each believer, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." 1 Peter 4, verse 10 speaks, Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So what does that mean? Each one of us has received that one gift, and not all of us will receive the same gift. We receive these gifts upon conversion, upon our salvation. And those gifts are determined by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives out those gifts. The Holy Spirit gives his people at his discretion. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. It is the Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each and every person gets. One of the common problems for Christians is the temptation to get so caught up in our spiritual gift that we only seek to serve God in that one specific area which we feel gifted. And that's good that we're serving in that area because it's one of our strengths. We're talking about one of our strengths. So we need to be, but I think one of the things that interferes is we leave it there. Of course, we have to realize and recognize that not only does He equip us, the Holy Spirit equip us, but He will empower us with whatever gift or gifts we need to accomplish the task He has called us to. And so typically when you get involved in service, it's interesting, just speaking with people, in fact, speaking with someone this past week, it's interesting how they talked about just getting involved in this one area at very first. And then that it grew to another thing, and it grew to another thing. And so in all of it, I think I was seeing that this person's gifts are being used and utilized, and maybe some of the things they wouldn't think are strengths are being utilized as well. God won't leave us or abandon us. He will allow us to and stretch us and grow us, and possibly there are other gifts that we weren't even aware we had. So don't just get focused on one gift, but allow God to use you where He seeks you, and He will develop those other gifts that are needed for you. He will equip us with the gifts to accomplish the task that He has called us to. He doesn't leave us on our own. He doesn't leave us just where we're at. He empowers us. He gives us the desire, and the scripture talks about that. Rejoice and be faithful in the gift that God has given you. There's also the other side of it where there's the danger of being dissatisfied with the gift or the gifts that God has given us. Sometimes it seems sad, but sometimes it's almost a feeling of competition. People want the gift that somebody else has. There's the aspect of the envy that comes into play. Don't be distracted by others' gifts. Rejoice in the gift that God has given you. Rejoice in the gift that God has given others. Can you imagine if all of our arms just simply wanted to be arms? You know what? Our feet want to be arms. What's going to happen? I want to be an arm. So it's like I'm trying to talk with my hands. It's not going to work. I'm going to fall over flat. The body was designed for a very specific reason, that all of its parts work together to function, to make up the body. And we know because we live in a fallen world and recognize that when one part of our body is hurting, it affects the entire body. You would think that when one of your little toes is hurt or maybe it's chopped off, you would think that's no problem. It's just a little toe. My little toe's like this big. That's not going to matter. Thankfully, I have all my toes, but they do tell me that if you lose one of your toes, it knocks your balance off, especially the big toe. You got to learn to walk all over again. Be thankful and serve faithfully with the gift that God has given you. Don't look at others and become envious and prideful. And it all boils back down to humility. Walk in humility. Live in humility. How do we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ? Humbly by repentance and faith. Where do we live as believers? Humbly in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We need to realize and recognize that the body is the body because of each individual part that makes up the body and the integral part that each part plays in functioning so well as a body. It's vitally important. In order for the gifts to be used, there needs to be an outworking of those spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives every disciple of Jesus Christ at least one gift. And we need to identify our spiritual gift. We need to recognize or identify what our spiritual gift is. How do we do that? How do we accomplish that? For years I was wondering too, and so I know the whole aspect of, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I get that and I understand that. In fact, there isn't, some magic formula that can tell us what our spiritual gifts are. There's some tests that you can take, but they're not, they help us in defining that, but they're not also, they're not the end all and be all of it either. In fact, identifying our spiritual gifts can be determined in different ways. Spiritual tests or inventories, while not to be fully relied on, can play a helpful role in helping us understand what our gifts might be. Other people often see our spiritual gifts before we do. They see and they recognize that we have those spiritual gifts. And I trust as we as a body see each other working together. And that's why unity, that's why the fellowship together is so important in the body of Christ. Because then we get to see and recognize and realize the gifts that God has given to people. We can encourage other people in the gifts that we see, that I see this gift in you. You should be involved in this ministry because I see that gift in you. Often we don't see those gifts ourselves or recognize it. We could even be doing things that are related to that gift, but we simply don't recognize it because we don't take inventory of ourselves that way all of the time. So others definitely can affirm the spiritual gifts in us. And of course, the one person who knows exactly what spiritual gift we have is the Holy Spirit, the very gift giver himself. And so it's important to pray. It's important to pray and ask God through his Holy Spirit to reveal those gifts to us, or that one gift at very least. Because our desire is to glorify God through those gifts, through those spiritual gifts that he has given us. Yes, God calls some to be teachers and gives them the gift of teaching. God calls some to be servants and blesses them with the gift of helps. However, specifically, knowing our spiritual gift does not excuse us from serving God in areas outside of our gifting. And I spoke about that a little bit earlier. So that's what I was saying. Don't get focused on just your gift. Realize and recognize, and don't use it as an excuse not to serve outside of your gifting. It is beneficial to know what spiritual gift or gifts God has given us, but don't simply allow yourself only to serve in that area of spiritual gifts. Because a lot of times we're missing out on opportunities to serve because we refuse to allow God to use us as he sees fit. Yes, if we're dedicated to being used by God, he will equip us with everything we need to serve him. Part of it is allowing yourself the opportunity to serve in an area. How do I know what my gifting is if I've never done it before? Yeah, when we start out, it's going to be pretty raw. It's going to be, it might be, need some work. That's true. Spiritual gifts aren't just given and bam. You know, you have that gift and now you can speak and you can preach and you can teach and you can, have the gift of wisdom and all of those things. Those things need to be developed, as we'll see in my next point. But allow yourself to get used in the church. Allow yourself. It's interesting because when I was growing up, one of the things I did was I didn't know if I was a teacher. So, in fact, I probably did this wrong. If I'm gonna confess to you this morning, which I need to be honest with you, because I believe that's required of me, and you deserve that. Years ago, we did have a club program in the church, and somebody asked me if I would do that. I got involved, but man, it was chaos. And I felt that age group of young boys, they loved me, but that young group of ambitious boys, that was not my gift. Now, seeing it later on, maybe that isn't still my gift, or did I allow that maybe to excuse me from serving there. I don't know. Probably I would say it was a big excuse. But ultimately, we do need to do that. We need to, what is the area? Sometimes, and it can be areas that we like. It's not that God calls us to serve in areas that we dislike. It's like, oh, I don't like serving in that area. I can't. Well, maybe we have that attitude. But God will also give us a desire. One of the things we talk about is the gift of hospitality. And I tell you, I appreciate the people that are using their gift at the coffee bar. I was talking to one of the gentlemen this morning as I was getting my coffee. He was saying, oh, I'm glad those other people are, the other staff are doing their job because I'm busy talking. And I said, I was glad. That's part of your hospitality, welcoming. That's part of your role. God is allowing you to use your gift there. So maybe that's your gift. And it's something that this person is passionate about, being with people, sharing with people. And I love that. God allows us to serve in areas where we love to serve and are passionate about. Maybe it's children. Maybe it's older people. I don't know. But God calls us into places that we love to serve. And he will give us just a passion and a desire to serve in those places if we're not entirely sold. But sometimes we need to step out in faith and say, maybe, God, maybe I can serve in that area. Allow God through the Holy Spirit to develop that gift. Or maybe you're not gifted in that. I think I would soon recognize that if I decided that I was gifted in being part of a worship team and leading a worship team, I would soon recognize that I don't have the talents or gifts to be able to do that. And then to recognize, to move on from there. And then going on to B, allow God to fully develop the gift within you. And so this comes to the point where those gifts we are given won't necessarily be just boom, they're there in all of their glory and they're, it's matured. No, there's a level of, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, I'm going to read it in the NLT, Paul is talking to Timothy here and he says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. So in essence, what Paul is telling Timothy is you can't be passive and expect the effects of your spiritual gift just to happen. So if you're sitting on the pew there and you're expecting all of a sudden, bam, this spiritual gift's going to just take over me and I'm going to come preach, it's not going to happen. Fan into flame. Keep fanning to flame the coal which is already glowing. So there's an ember glowing. Keep working on it. Keep fanning on it. Keep utilizing it. Start practicing. Start putting it into use and seek God and search God. It's your responsibility to keep rekindling your spiritual gift. Keep using it, utilizing it where God calls you. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us to fail. But he cannot fill us or empower us and use us if we neglect our spiritual lives. Because it is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. God is grieved. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we're not utilizing our spiritual gift. Do you understand the importance of each one of us and the spiritual gift, the responsibility that has been replaced upon each one of us as a child of God? Do you understand that? There is a responsibility, there is a stewardship, a management that we have. A responsibility that we have. Paul's exhortation to Timothy, we must stir up the gift of God within us that we may be burning brightly, shining lights. But it is this dynamic of the Spirit. It is Spirit empowered. It is not human enthusiasm. It is not us getting all psyched up and pumped up. Yeah, I can do this. That's not what it's about. It's being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then fourthly, spiritual gifts will contribute to the overall health and growth of the church. Do you understand? Are you getting the aspect of you have a responsibility as a child of God to and are a contributor to the health of this local body here and also the greater body of Christ, the Church of Christ? These spiritual gifts were given for the benefit of the church body. When properly exercised, spiritual gifts will contribute to the overall health and growth of the church. And we realize that as members of one body and a local body, we belong to each other. We affect each other. We impact each other. And we need each other. We need each other. Our world is really teaching us that all we need is myself. I need myself and my electronics and I am set. I don't need anyone else. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we need each other. Each believer, no matter how insignificant they might feel or appear, has a ministry and can affect other believers. The body grows as the individual members grow. So this body, this church body here, it grows as we as a church grow. As we feed on the word to minister to each other. That's how it grows. That's how we grow to maturity. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, to employ that gift, to use that gift, we are given to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see that? To employ that gift, we're using, that means we're utilizing that gift that God has given us, to utilize it, to work in it, to serve one another. We're serving each other. There's that whole aspect of humility comes into play. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. There's no competition there. It's to help my brother, my sister in Christ. Spiritual gifts are not for personal gain. They're not for us to be selfish with. They are for, in fact, building unity in the church. We were not intended to operate independently in the church. I'm not intended to operate independently in the church. Neither are you. Neither are you. None of us was meant to operate independently in this church body. The fullness of God's love is expressed in his gifts. And if one Christian possessed all of these spiritual gifts, he would be self-sufficient and have no need for other members. That's why we are so dependent on each other, because we don't all have the same gift. We need the other gifts. We need the other parts of the body to make us complete, to make this church, one body, complete. God has purposefully given us different gifts so that we can rely on each other. And as each disciple of Jesus responds to the needs in the church according to their particular spiritual gift, and as God allows believers to serve him in various roles, the body of Christ can experience the fullness of God's love. God's desire is there that there is unity in the church. Unity in the body is achieved when all of the members care for each other. It's about humility. If you care for each other, if you really care for, genuinely care for each other, there's unity in this body of believers? How do the members care for each other? By each one functioning according to God's will and helping the other members to function as God has called them and gifted them. If one member suffers, it affects every member. And we have seen that. And so I want to encourage you. We have seen that in this church. When one of our family members is sick, one of us is sick, people help us. When one of us dies, when one of our members dies, it affects the whole church body. My wife is suffering now with an illness, and it's affecting this body. And you know what? This body is doing amazing things. They are, I want to take this opportunity to thank you as a church for blessing us so richly and looking after us in this time with those meals. You do not know and will not understand how much they mean to us unless you've gone through those situations. Then you can understand. It is powerful. It's in a powerful expression when we use our gifts to serve other people. If one member is healthy, it helps the others to be strong. These are all benefits in this church when we're using our spiritual gifts as God designed, when we're being good stewards, managers of our spiritual gift. Diversity in gifts of its members fulfills the will of God in the body. It is God who gives the gifts and designates the office. He has a perfect plan, not only for this church as a whole. Not for just the church, the overall church, but for this body of believers right here at Ozer Mission Chapel. 1 Corinthians 12:17, 27 to 31 talks about the unity and diversity must be balanced by maturity, and that maturity comes with love. And so as we grow together, we become mature in Christ. We work in unity as we allow the Holy Spirit to utilize the gifts that we have. It is not enough to have the gift of the Spirit and gifts from the Spirit. We must also have the graces of the Spirit as we use our gifts to serve one another. Isn't that incredible? We have the ability, the opportunity to serve one another. One of the things that when I'm doing going into my marriage preparation classes is we talk about being a servant. It's not what I can get out of my wife or get her to do for me or what she can give me, but it's what she can do, you know, what I can do for her. How can I serve her? How can I bless her? How can I make her life rich? And if each spouse does this, is if each spouse has that attitude that I will serve instead of how can I be served. Do you see the relationship, how the unity will be in that relationship? If we come to church and our desire is, how can I bless another person by using the spiritual gift that God has given me? Do you understand the unity, the maturity that the body will grow to? God has given to each of us from his very great variety of spiritual gifts, and we need to manage them well so that God's generosity can and will flow through us. I want to read 1 Peter 4, verse 10 in the Amplified. As each of you has received a gift, and here it gives a little bit of a definition, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for another as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. Using our spiritual gift honors and glorifies the very God that saved us, that brought us into that intimate relationship with God Himself. Using our gifts is an act of obedience. It is a response to the gift of salvation. What if God has given us? It is for the glory of God and the benefit of others, the benefit of this church body, of the overall church body, but specifically of this church body. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given differently to each one of us by the special grace of God through Christ and through the Holy Spirit that God uses to build up the body of Christ. So what are the implications when we fan into flames the spiritual gift the Holy Spirit has given each of and every disciple of Jesus? What are the implications? God is glorified. The church body is built up, including this church body. Others are encouraged and blessed, bringing unity to the body of Christ. When the body is functioning with all its body parts working and functioning well, it's so much easier as we all seek to fulfill the Great Commission, and that is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We all have a part to play in this body. Let's work together. Let's be good stewards of those spiritual gifts. Let's pray as we close this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have given to indwell us. We thank you for this great gift of salvation that you have given to each person that believes and comes humbly by repentance and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you desire and have a plan for us to be involved in kingdom work, in making disciples. But thank you that you have not left us on our own. You have in fact gifted us. God, thank you for that. I pray that we would be good stewards of those gifts. I pray that we would use those gifts to honor and glorify you. That we would not sit on our hands, but that we would use them to further your kingdom. To reach, what it boils down to it is to reach the lost. Oh God, give us a passion and a desire to see the lost come to Jesus. To save us as we are saved. God, as a church, I pray that we would be gracious as people try to understand and find out what their gifts are, that we would allow them to serve in areas to be able to discern what their gifts are. I pray that we would be encouraging and that we would affirm each other when we see those gifts in other people. God, I pray that we would be able as a church to serve in unity. Oh God, that we wouldn't be selfish, but that we would seek to honor and glorify you. And it honors you and it glorifies you when we seek to walk in unity with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh God, thank you. Thank you that you have not left us on your own. Thank you that you empower us. Thank you that you give us that desire. And so, Lord God, we just worship you this morning. And God, I pray that we would just be able to utilize our gifts, not for the glory of man, but for the glory of Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You are dismissed. I trust that you will enjoy the rest of your May long weekend.